This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here on the first day of the spring trophy striped bass season, and we wish you all of our anglers good luck out there. We hope you limit out early and have a good time. We want to get out of the off the bay and out of the way before the bad weather comes in. We don't want you to get wet, although the fish don't mind. They're already wet. I'm sure you're going to be out there dragging some great big old trolling lures. I'm sure there's something white, chartreuse, or white on your boat that you'll be dragging behind the boat. I don't know how many lines you'll have out. I don't know if you'll be running planer boards or just, dragging along the edges of the chipping channels. But whatever you do, when that big old fish takes that bait, good luck. I hope you get that girl in there, that big male in there, and you just have a nice 28-inch or larger striped bass, and you'll have a good time today. That's right. Today is opening day. That's right. Main stem of the Chesapeake Bay from the Brewerton Channel to the Virginia Line, including Tangier and Pocomoke Sound, not allowed in other bays, sound, tributaries, creeks, and rivers. And that regulation in particular was established so that anglers would not disturb striped bass spawning in these sensitive areas. So, if you're on your way, or if you're already there, if you're listening, sitting in your car waiting for your captain to show up, 410-922-6680, 1-800-WCBM-680, 1-800-922-6680, numerically 410-922-6680, 800-922-6680. Love to have you with us. Love to have you with us. Look forward to it. Wow. Well, hey, I was working in Frederick yesterday, last evening actually, late, and we were working on the Maryland Hunting Quarterly, getting that thing together, trying to get to the printers. We were creating the cover and that type of thing, and I got out of there late. When I came around a corner, there was some type of critter whose eyes were guardrail height. Now, guardrails aren't very high, obviously, but this critter, I could just see two eyes over top the guardrails, and I didn't get a look at what it was. It was so quick and so fast that it just turned around and down over the little embankment there. And I didn't stop. It was late, and I didn't stop. But I've never seen an animal with eyes that particular color. They were LED red. I'm telling you, they were bright red, bright glowing red eyes. If anybody's ever seen anything that size and can help me out with that, I thought maybe deer, but I've seen deer with orange eyes. I've seen deer with green eyes, and it's the reflective coating off of, you know, whatever the back of the eye is off the retina or whatever the reflective stuff is in the back of the eye. I've noticed a lot of times that the bucks have different color eyes. They're more orange, and not always. And this isn't, you know, every time, all the time. But every now and then you'll see one with orange eyes, and usually it's a buck. The deer have white eyes, reflective eyes, green to some degree. I've never seen anything this bright red. I don't know. Now, maybe some of you coyote hunters can tell me, is that coyote or is that some other critter? I don't know. You tell me. Maybe a domestic animal of some kind. Bright red eyes. Pretty cool. All right. Youth Turkey Day. We had a great Youth Turkey Day. I'm getting pictures and stories from all over the state about kids who have taken birds, and some cool stories about kids who have, harvested jakes and harvested mature birds and crossbow, shotgun, you name it. I've seen a lot of that. Also got some good stories of some of our adult hunters. When the season came in on Wednesday, some people had a good day. Some people haven't seen a bird. Some people haven't heard a bird. So it's hit or miss all over the state. And it's a very unusual turkey season so far. So we'll see what happens. Of course, we don't know if the breeding season is 2 weeks ahead, right on schedule. I mean, these are some people are saying it's 2 weeks ahead of time, and we're already in where we would be in the middle of the season. I don't know. I'm not a turkey hunter. I did go out. I went out. I drove up to the farm that I have permission to hunt in Cecil County. There were some birds there. A buddy of mine, as a matter of fact, he jumped a bird out of a down tree, out of the crown of a dead tree, and that was on a Tuesday, and he went back on Thursday and found a pile of feathers there, and he wasn't happy. He was angry at the fox that killed the turkey. Well, understandably so, because turkeys don't. You know, we don't have a lot, and when you see one, it's a cool thing. So, I decided that's where I was going to go. So I went up, and I didn't hear a single bird. Right on the edge of the woods, and right across the field from the roost, and all that stuff. And you know, I made a few tree calls and some exploratory yelps and that type of thing. Nothing. Well, okay, that's fine. Let's switch locations. After about an hour, I moved maybe 200 yards. And as I got into the vicinity of where my permanent stand is there, and I just topped the hill, and I heard this god-awful noise coming out of the marsh. I mean, what was that? And it got louder and louder. And I went, what is that? I couldn't tell you if it was a bird or what. Well, it was a fox, and it was just barking and screaming, and I'm like, that's crazy. So I saw it coming, got down behind the log and gave a couple clucks and on the turkey call to see if I could get it to come in a little closer, and it apparently had gotten around me somehow that I couldn't see it. So, like I said, my permanent stand was there, so I saw some bird droppings down over the side, and I thought, oh man, I hope the buzzards didn't build a nest in there. So I climbed up the ladder, got about halfway up the ladder, and heard that barking again. And I looked over to my left. I was halfway up the ladder on this wooden box tree stand, and I looked over to my left, and there was a fox about 60 yards, and I'm assuming it was she, was barking. And I'm thinking, what is she barking at? And then I heard the little pitter-patter of tiny feet beyond the stand. I couldn't see through the box in the stand, but I could hear the little feet going. Oh, man, she's got a den. Well, I kept watching. Finally, I did see one little fox kid about a foot long, and it disappeared behind this sand mound. And she sat there for another 3-4 minutes and slowly walked away and just kind of kept looking back towards the den and back towards me. And I thought, okay, with all that barking and screaming and carrying on, there's not going to be any turkeys here anyway. So I got down and I walked up the trail, looked over at the sand mound. Sure enough, found the den down under some tree roots behind the sand mound and walked up over the hill, and there she was again. And I just left everything alone and away I went. So that was a very cool experience. Never had anything happen like that. I've never seen in the wild a fox pup. And I just had a cool time. I came home. And that was my turkey hunt. So I've been yakking. We're taking your phone calls here, 410-922-6680, 410-WCBM-680. How many of you heard the news about Ted Nugent this week? How many of you heard that? Yeah, he was at the NRA convention. You know, we had a conversation, well, kind of a conversation. I mean, I got yelled at a little bit last week about Ted Nugent. But, I had called Monday a week ago. I had called NRA Radio. Ted Nugent was on there. I had a conversation with Ted. And Ted said, I hope Maryland doesn't have any poaching penalties that result in felonies. I'd hate to see my hunting privileges lost. I'd hate to see my gun rights, because felons can't possess firearms. I'd hate to see my right to keep and bear arms vanish because of a deer. Let's play one little clip of what Ted Nugent said this week at the NRA convention. Go ahead, Brian.
Four of the Supreme Court justices not only determined you don't have the right to keep and bear arms, four Supreme Court justices signed their name to a declaration that Americans have no fundamental right to self-defense. And if you want more of those kinds of evil, anti-American people in the Supreme Court, then don't get involved and let Obama take office again. Because I tell you this right now, if Barack Obama becomes the president in November again, I will either be dead or in jail by this time next year.
Now, you might have heard that that was that. You might not have heard that clip. You might not have heard that clip. If Barack Obama becomes president, by this time next year, I will either be dead or in jail. What does that mean? What is he trying to say? Let's play the other cut.
If you don't know that our government is wiping its with the Constitution, you're living under a rock someplace.
Well, that was a good one, but not exactly that. I'd like to hear the Braveheart comment that everybody's heard that got Mr. Nugent in trouble. Is it long? Okay, well, that's fine. We got time.
If you can't get a couple of hundred people each of you, some of you, I bet you can get a couple thousand. Your goal should be able to get a couple of thousand people per person who's here to vote for Mitt Romney in November. If you don't know that our government is wiping its with the Constitution, you're living under a rock someplace. And that there's a dead soldier, an airman, a marine, a seaman, a hero of the military that just got his legs blown off for the U.S. Constitution. And we got a president and attorney general who doesn't even like the Constitution. We got four Supreme Court justices who don't believe in the Constitution. Does everybody know here that four of the Supreme Court justices not only determined you don't have the right to keep and bear arms, four Supreme Court justices signed their name to a declaration that Americans have no fundamental right to self-defense? That sounds like a stoned hippie. That doesn't sound like a Supreme Court anything. It sounds like a supremely intellectually vacuous punk. To think that a human could think that humans don't have a basic right to self-defense is so bizarre to me as to my brain can't accept the information. And if you want more of those kinds of evil, anti-American people in the Supreme Court, then don't get involved and let Obama take office again. Because I tell you this right now, if Barack Obama becomes the president in November again, I will either be dead or in jail by this time next year. Being at the NRA event, God bless you, good indicator. But if you can't go home and get everybody in your lives to clean house in this vile, evil, America-hating administration, I don't even know what you're made out of. If you can't galvanize and promote and recruit people to vote for Mitt Romney, we're done. Will be a suburb of Indonesia next year. Our president and attorney general, our vice president, Hillary Clinton, they're criminals. They're criminals. And if you take that adamant we the people defiance, remember we're Americans because we defied the king. We didn't negotiate and compromise with the king. We defied the emperors. We are patriots. We are Braveheart. We need to ride into that battlefield and chop their heads off in November. Any questions?
Any questions? And you wonder why the Secret Service had a question or two for Mr. Nugent. Well, that's not our only bit of Ted Nugent news. No, it is not. I mean, that was over the top. And that's what he's famous for, over the top comments and, you know, way exaggerated stuff. And that's part of the reason that I don't particularly care for Mr. Nugent. And 20 years ago, I was in a conference sponsored by the NRA. I was having a conversation with Mr. Nugent, and I asked him about his methodology, his delivery, his over-the-top speech. He took great offense to me saying something about that. And I'm saying, you know, look, you're trying to reach, you're you know, preaching to the choir, but what about the people who are on the fence? You know, what about your over-the-top type of speech? And he got up out of his chair, and he towered over me like he was some alpha male. Well, guess what? Alan, don't play that. Okay? I stood up under Mr. Nugent's chin, and I looked him in the eye, and I waited for his reply. And he stammered something, and we parted ways. But that was my first experience face-to-face with Mr. Nugent. Now, I mentioned the comments about the poaching and the felony and shouldn't lose your gun over a deer, according to Mr. Nugent. Well, maybe you didn't hear this breaking news, but from Anchorage, Alaska, rocker and wildlife hunter. This is from the Huffington Post celebrity section. It's actually also reported by Associated Press. Rocker and wildlife hunter Ted Nugent has agreed to plead guilty to transporting a black bear he illegally killed in southeast Alaska. Nugent made the admission in signing a plea agreement with federal prosecutors that was filed Friday, yesterday, in district court. U.S. District Court. Calls seeking comment from Nugent, his Anchorage attorney, Wayne Anthony Ross, and Assistant U.S. Attorney Jack Schmidt were not immediately returned. The plea agreement says Nugent illegally shot and killed the bear in May of 2009 on Sukwan Island days after wounding a bear in a bow hunt, which counted towards a state seasonal limit of one bear. In Alaska, you wound a bear, it escapes. You can't kill another bear. It's like you shoot a dove and it falls in the bean field and you can't find it. Ethically, should you count it against your limit? Yes, you killed that dove. So you go home with 14. According to the agreement, first reported by the Anchorage Daily News, the six-day hunt was filmed for his Outdoor Channel television show, Spirit of the Wild. In the hunt, Nugent used a number of bear baiting sites on U.S. Forest Service property, according to the agreement. The document says Nugent knowingly possessed and transported the bear in misdemeanor violation of the federal Lacey Act. The Lacey Act simply states that you cannot transport illegally taken game. All right. Nugent, identified in the agreement as Theodore A. Nugent. Theodore. Yeah, let's just call him Theodore. What do you think? Should we just call him Theodore Nugent, agreed to pay a $10,000 fine, according to the agreement, which says he also agreed with a 2-year probation, including a special condition that he not hunt or fish in Alaska or Forest Service properties for 1 year. His privileges were suspended for what? Poaching, violating the Lacey Act. He also agreed to create a public service announcement that would be broadcast on his show every second week for 1 year. The document states, the PSA will discuss the importance of a hunter's responsibility in knowing the rules and regulations of the hunting activities that they engage in, which is subject to the review and final approval prior to any broadcast by a representative of the U.S. State's Attorney's Office in the District of Alaska, the agreement says. Nugent, who signed the agreement or the document on April 14th, also agreed to pay the state $600 for the bear that was taken illegally. Nugent, in this piece, identified as a conservative activist famed for his 1977 hit, Cat Scratch Fever, drew the attention of the Secret Service after he rallied support last weekend for Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney and said of the Obama administration, "We need to ride into that battlefield and chop their heads off in November." His comments were made during the National Rifle Association meeting in St. Louis. Nugent said on his website Thursday that he discussed the matter with two agents on Thursday while in Oklahoma. "The meeting could not have gone better," he said. "I thanked them for their service. We shook hands and we went about our business. God bless the good federal agents wherever they may be." No matter if, even if they're in Colombia, God bless them. Nugent said he was just speaking figuratively. He didn't threaten anyone's life or advocate violence. "Metaphors don't need to be explained to educated people," he said. Maybe game laws need to be explained to Ted Nugent, but metaphors we get. Secret Service spokesman said the issue has been resolved with hunting. Nugent has run afoul of the law before. In August of 2010, California revoked Nugent's deer hunting license after he pleaded no contest to misdemeanor charges of deer baiting and not having a properly signed tag. Nugent's loss of that deer hunting license through June of 2012 allows 34 other states to revoke the same privilege under the Interstate Wildlife Violator Compact that we've talked about on this show. Each state, however, can interpret and enforce the agreement differently. Richard in Glen Burnie, you got the first call.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I don't think it's the first time he's been fined for poaching.
No, I just read it. Yeah.
No, I think he's been fined before. I can't remember when it was, but it was a couple of years ago that I remember him being fined before. But he's definitely a little overzealous the way he speaks. But I kind of understand what he said when
sure.
He said he would either be dead in jail.
You do? What did he mean?
Well, if they pass a bill that you have to turn in all your guns, personally, I would not turn in my guns, and they would either catch me away from my house and lock me up for not turning in my guns, or whatever's going to happen is going to happen, but
yeah.
I would not.
And you think Congress would do that?
I hope not.
Oh,
so
I've got news about some stuff coming up that just passed in Congress this week, so I don't think you need to necessarily worry about that, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, that's where I thought he was coming from, but he definitely is very flamboyant with his metaphors and the way he talks. So,
yeah. Well, how do you think he's winning any friends? Do you think he's winning any? Do you think he's winning any of the swing voters or any of the independents with that kind of rhetoric?
He's rallying the people to like him, and
he's a egomaniac. That's what he is. He's an egomaniacal guy who says stuff over the top to get the kind of attention that he's gotten. But if you question him and if you pin him down, he gets angry. He gets very angry. And
right.
And that comes out in a lot of different ways. Look, I don't believe in whack 'em and stack 'em. His signature,
right.
I don't believe in that, okay? I don't believe that's a true representation of hunting. And I think what he's doing now, this serial poaching in Alaska and California, deer, bear, what's it matter? He's saying, oh, well, it's some obscure law that if you wound an animal, you know, well, hey, look, know the law of the state where you're going to be. I hunted in Maine last year, I had to know the laws. I hunted in Wyoming last year, I had to know the laws. I mean, I've hunted in New Brunswick. You got to know the laws. Pennsylvania. I hunted there last year. You got to know the laws. Got to know the laws in Maryland. You got to know the. I don't care if you're a TV star, a wealthy ex-rocker, a board member of the NRA, or what you are. You got to obey the law. Yes or no? That's all I'm asking.
Absolutely.
So there you go. All right, Richard. Thanks.
All right.
Yep. Appreciate the call. All right, and we'll get to Carl in Millington in just a few minutes here. Carl, I know you're up there and you're anxious to talk to us, but I've got to tell you about a couple of different things. I got to tell you about the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You know, it's time. Today's first day of rockfish season. Love to hear from you. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center. Maybe a vacation from the World Fishing Network. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish like a striped bass today or certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. Now, there are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify. Stop by your local fishing citation center or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2012 Maryland Fishing Challenge, honoring Maryland's own Lefty Cray. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? Well, I hope so. Well, what's in your bed? I don't mean right now where you're listening. I mean your truck bed. I urge you to protect your truck bed like I did with a Linex Protective Spray-On Bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Linex is the best available protective coating on the market, period. You want colors for your truck or your heavy equipment? Linex with color-coded DuPont Kevlar uses your existing paint code to provide you with that factory-finished look, offering superior protection. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one in customer satisfaction. Now, Linex of Glen Burnie provides a mobile service to your job site for commercial and industrial applications. From underground holding tanks and secondary containments to styrofoams and plastics, they all need protection, and Linex has the material to do it. Linex protective coatings have been tested by the Air Force at Research Lab and the Army Corps of Engineers, and now Linex actually lines the walls of the Pentagon. You want to know more? Bay Linux at Glen Burnie online, baylinux.com. Pretty simple, baylinux.com, or stop by. Bay Linux, Glen Burnie, located 400 Arundel Corporation Road, Bay I, just off Beltway exit 3A. Don't be fooled by imitations. Call 410-789-0199. Ask for Bobby Hawkins. Mention the Outdoorsman Radio Show or Ellis Outdoors and learn how you can receive a $30 Bass Pro Shop gift card. Linux at Glen Burnie, now more than just bedliners. Alan Ellis here for Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln. You know, my friend John Berkridge, the sales manager, he wants outdoorsmen to know that the F-150 and Super Duty pickups are ready for action. Remember, Ford trucks are dependable wherever you spend your time outdoors, at work, and at play. Stop by and see the lineup of Explorers, Escapes, Rangers, Super Duty, and F-150 pickups, America's best-selling trucks for 34 years. Ask how to take advantage of the special offers and incentives on Ford trucks at Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln. See Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln at 1845 East Joppa Road in Parkville for all the details or call 410-661-6400. Visit them online at bobdavidsonauto.com. For outdoorsmen, Bob Davidson is your outfitter for quality Ford trucks.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
Hey, we're going to change tracks here for just a second. I want to ask you if you enjoy gardening or beautiful flowers. I want to recommend Schillinger's Papa John's Farm in Severn, just off I-97. Now, Papa John's Farm, the greenhouses are bursting with beautiful plants and flowers. They got annuals by the pack or the flat, perennials by the pot, bedding plants, planters, hanging baskets, just a whole greenhouse full of them. Colorful pansies, impatiens, petunias, and they carry the proven winter specialty plants. Papa John's Farm has all the vegetable plants, too, ready to plant in your home garden. Tasty tomatoes, squash, watermelon, cantaloupe, about 10 varieties of hot peppers and herbs, too, for those of you who like fresh herbs in your cooking. Papa John's Farm, located just off I-97 at exit 12. That's 8029 New Cut Road in Severn. You can drive right to the greenhouse and make your selection or call 410-969-5909. Let me do that again. I stumbled. 410-969-5909. Think about flowers and plants from Papa John's farm for your garden, your church. Mother's Day is coming up soon. Call 410-969-5909. Papa John's is open every day. Visit Schillinger's Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on you.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
This is Mark Levin inviting you to join me every weeknight from 7 to 9 with the most powerful names in talk. Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This goes out to all those striped bass fishermen out there looking for the big trophy.
Making a living the old hard way. Taking and giving my day by day. I dig snow and rain and a bright sunshine.
Taking the line.
Talk to, where are we? Carl in Millington and then Jeff in Baltimore. Good morning, Carl. How you doing?
How you doing, Mr. Ellis?
Hey, buddy. What's up?
Nothing much. I'm sitting in the woods waiting to hear a gobble.
Did you hear any yet?
No, I got a dog barking at me.
Oh, man. That's not good.
Yeah.
That's not good. What, you got about 20 minutes, I guess, till legal shooting time, huh?
Yeah, I was just hoping maybe I'd hear the early morning gobble, so I had an idea where to ride.
Do you give any kind of a owl hoot or crow call yet? See what's going on?
I did a little hoot. I was waiting for your commercials to end, but I ain't getting a response, so I'll give it a more minutes, and I'm going to go from there.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to kind of locate them first. Here's the deal, though, buddy. They might be they might already be henned up. I mean, if they're ahead of the season.
I know. I'm hoping maybe I'll catch a bachelor.
Yeah, well, yeah, that might be all you can hope for. Now, do you got decoys out?
Yep, I have two hens and a Drake-looking one out.
Yeah. I got a friend that called me the other day. They were down on the Eastern Shore. And they had a couple decoys out, and they had a submissive hen, you know, one sitting right on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a couple of jakes come in, and pretty good-sized birds, two-year-olds. And they were watching them, and one guy was sleeping, the other guy was watching the birds, and he said, you know, he wasn't sure he was going to shoot one. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, they heard this flopping and commotion and carrying on. They looked over. One of those jakes was breeding that hen decoy. And he said they got it on tape, which is pretty cool. Yeah, isn't that crazy? Yeah, I'm sure he was disappointed, but, you know, it'd be like blow-up doll or something, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, all right, look, you're getting towards prime time. Of course, you're overcast over there right now, aren't you? Pretty cloudy?
Yep, I'm not even seeing the sun. I only think I see
the
clouds.
So. Which way is the wind coming?
Actually, right now I have no wind.
No wind. Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. It's tough turkey hunting because they're so sensitive to everything. They're sensitive to the barometer. They're sensitive to, you know, you name it. And if you don't catch them at the right time, at the right spot, and tell them what they want to hear, that's why people are challenged by turkey so well. So I've been entirely challenged by them my entire life. So
as long as I've been turkey hunting, I've always had them close enough to see their fan, and that was it.
Oh, yeah, that's close, huh? That's pretty close. I had an opportunity last year in Pennsylvania. I shared that with you. I just couldn't see the beard. I mean, it was a Jake, I'm sure. Gobbled its head off the whole way to us for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and stepped out in the open, and my buddy said, shoot it. And I didn't see a beard, so I didn't shoot. But
don't blame you there. Rather play it safe.
Yeah, I had two deer walking in front of me at the same time. I had two deer between me and the turkey. You know, and I didn't want to blow the hunt and, you know, and scare the deer and scare the turkey. And it was a whole lot of dynamics going on there. So,
the only thing I've seen this morning is a fox walking by. He walked by and peed on a tree.
What was it?
A fox.
Oh, a fox, yeah. Well, you might have heard me. They've got their babies out there, so they're hunting. So.
Yeah. He looked right over at me and looked at my decoys and said it went running. So
yeah, okay. Well, yeah, he might have smelled you on him or something. So
I'm hoping that's what it was.
Yeah, I hope so. All right, buddy. Appreciate the call. Thanks for waiting.
Yep, and have a good one, and I hope you get out a little bit yourself.
Oh, I'm going to try. I'm going to try and get out a little bit. So busy right now, but maybe end of next week. We'll see what happens.
All right, well, hopefully next Saturday I can call and tell you maybe I got one or
beautiful.
A bunch or whatever.
That'd be good. That'd be great. All right, tell your dad to say hello.
Oh, he's not with me, so he's probably listening.
All right. Well, thanks, Carl.
All right.
Take care.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. There he goes. Jeff in Baltimore. Good morning. Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right, trying to hang in through this 11-7 shift.
Yep.
I'm sitting out here on University Park. We're listening to quite a orchestra of birds and crows, and over here near Hopkins University, maybe there's a blue jay.
Yeah.
but hearing lots of, I tell you, the symphony of birds and animals, you find them in the weirdest places. We spoke a little bit about that last week.
Indeed.
I enjoyed that story that you opened up with, indeed, about the foxes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what happens. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that makes my day anymore. I just had a conversation with a buddy of mine.
Yeah.
And I said, he said, I can't do this getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning every day now. And I said, you know, I said, it used to be when we were younger, I said, you go out on a hunting adventure somewhere and you'd stay a couple days and you're up at 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock every morning. And, you know, you come home and you hunt all day and you come in and you have dinner and, you know, enjoy your evening. And I said, anymore, I can't do that more than a couple of days. And he said, yeah, we're getting older. And I said, you're right. He said, there's a story for you. And
yeah.
He said, yeah, we ought to write about getting older. And I said, yeah, who's going to write it? He goes, I don't know. I said, how about you write it? I said, I'm too tired.
Yeah, that's what I got to do. I steal my outings due to age, time, finances and such. I've got to steal my outings in little chunks.
Yeah.
I did have a finally a good fishing tale of my own this week.
Well, good. What'd you do?
Cloudy day. I think it was Wednesday, a little overcast day.
Yeah, it was.
I had to work 3 to 11, but I knew that they did the they stopped that pond dead run out there in Leakin Park for the city fishing.
Yeah, how'd that turn out?
Well, I didn't get to make it to that event, unfortunately, but
right.
I have been there, and it is a great event, and I thank TU for putting if they put 800 in, I had to figure there were some left over, so I did go there, and I pulled out my ultralight spinning gear, which I'm generally fly fishing for trout, but I just wanted to kind of pull it out and go quick without a lot of preparation, and the first cast, I put it in some pretty skinny water because there's not much water anywhere out there.
Right.
I was up on a high bank, and I casted it down the middle channel of about 7 to 10 inches deep, and a couple of them scattered, and one came right up the channel and just hit on that Meps Aglia spinner, just hit on it and turned, and it was a beast. I worked him in, and I had to climb down the bank to get him, but he was about 18 inch long. Probably about 3 pounds. I couldn't get both hands around his girth.
Well, what kind of trout? What was it?
Well, rainbow.
Rainbow. Yeah, picked one of the big ones. Yeah, that's nice.
Oh, I mean, I ended up catching 2 or 3 more, which I usually don't catch that many in one outing, and they were kind of like 12 inches, let's say 14 inches. But this one was a special beast, and I worked him in, and I got him in hand, and like I said, I held him up against my chest, and. I couldn't get my hands around his
No, that's great, man. He might have been in there for a couple of days or years or weeks or whatever. That's cool.
Probably days. But of course, I didn't. Then I had to go to work, and I wasn't quite thinking about eating any fish out of that water. I'm not sure how a fish is in that water for 3 or 4 days or a week. I'm not sure. I don't trust that water.
Where's that?
Over there in Dead Run in Leakin Park. So
yeah, okay, I'm with you.
Out of there anyway.
Yeah, but you had the fun of it, didn't you?
Oh, it was magnificent. Like I said, I went down and I found there was a whole bunch of them scattered in this little pool near a bridge, and I was kind of learning how to play with the spinner and kind of think they were coming and making short strikes, and then they'd run away. And
yeah,
every so often I get one, so that was a great moment. And it's just
one of the things you want to do with that spinner. I'm guessing you were throwing it out and reeling in, throwing it out, reeling in, throwing it out, reeling in. What I like to do with that is throw it out, and somewhere in mid-retrieve, I like to speed it up about maybe a foot and then just pause it for a second and let that blade flutter and then pull it back again, and that seems to trigger a strike. I don't know if you tried any of that erratic stuff or not.
Definitely had to do some various manipulations. And,
yeah.
Keep it. The water was only 6 inches deep, and I didn't want to keep nagging. So I had to keep it up on the surface and kind of wiggle the tip there. And,
yeah.
I've had some strikes, but I got a lot of short strikes that were coming, and then they started to notice that the ones that were really in good feeding and hiding lies, we'll say, they wouldn't go for it after
a
while.
Yeah,
yeah. Another good fish story and another pretty vignette of a Maryland Baltimore vignette. I was over in Middle River on that beautiful day yesterday, one of the most magnificent days you could ask for.
Yeah,
and I went over there after work. And I got over to the, it's not Arthur Treacher's anymore.
But, right, I know what you're talking about. Yep.
Yeah, the fish and chips, man, over there in Eastern Avenue area. And I picked up a bag of that stuff and went over to my buddy's house over on the waterfront and just sat against the pier and just looked at that beautiful day and had some awesome fish and chips and hush puppies. And
let me ask you, are you a spokesman for this organization, or do you want me to send them an invoice?
No, I'm not a spokesman, but it's kind of because I never liked fish at all as a kid, and I grew up in Randallstown. There used to be the original Arthur Treacher's out of Liberty Road, but now they don't call it that anymore. They just
I know, Jeff. Jeff.
Well, anyway.
I'm trying to get you off of that, okay?
All right.
All right.
But it was good.
Yeah, well, all right, buddy. I got to go.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Jeff. And that tartar sauce is just unbelievable. Yeah, it was good. Okay, 410-922-6680, 410-WCBM 60. Well, we're not enthusiastic about striped bass anymore. I mean, you know, talked about it here for a minute, and I don't know. What are we thinking? Ah, boy. Well, I tell you who is. Fishbones Bait and Tackle. Yes, indeed. They've got all the hand-painted bucktails and parachutes and big old trolling lures and all the jig heads you need at Fishbones Bait and Tackle, 4729 Mountain Road in Pasadena. That's right. Now, you just take Route 100 all the way to the end. You hit Mountain Road. You make a right towards Gibson Island, 2.5 miles. On the right is Fishbones Bait and Tackle. Not only do they have the hand-tied, hand-painted trolling stuff, but they also have the best crab pots you ever see. Not crab. Well, they got crab pots. I mean, crab steaming pots, steaming kettles, made out of stainless steel. They're here, made here in Maryland. They got a lid. They got a basket, all stainless steel. They are perfect for steaming crabs. They're heavy duty. And I'll tell you what, they're the last crab steamer you'll ever have to buy. Exactly right. They got them in three sizes. Half a bushel. Not bad. Bushel. Pretty good. Bushel and a half if you want to, you know, steam a bushel of crabs and throw some corn on the cob on top of it. That's the one you get, the last one you ever have to buy. Stop by and see them at Fishbones Bait and Tackle. They've got all the bait, they've got all the tackle, they've got all the crabbing supplies that you could need, want, or imagine. Fishbones Bait and Tackle, Pasadena, 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573. Ask for Bud for an accurate and up-to-date fishing report.
See the great selection of Ford trucks and SUVs, including the Super Duty and F-150 pickups, America's best-selling trucks for 34 years, at Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln on East Joppa Road in Parkville.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
You got to love to hear those great fishing stories. And you know what? It's time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. That's right. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, even a vacation from the World Fishing Network. Freshwater, saltwater, tidal, offshore, doesn't make a difference. There are 60, I count them, more than 60 types of fish that are qualified for Maryland Fishing Citation. If you catch one of those citation-sized fish and you certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. That's right. The tidal rivers, the bays, the streams, the ponds, the lakes, the ocean, it all has fish that could get you in that contest. Stop by your local, and even a crab. Yep, even crabs. Stop by your local fishing citation. Visit www.dnr.maryland.gov. Look in your fishing rule book for all the details in the 2012 Maryland Fishing Challenge, honoring Maryland's own Lefty Cray. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you
if you're a working
lucky
man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Don't miss the best of Rush Limbaugh on Rush's Weekend Review every Saturday afternoon from 12 to 3 on the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I'm on a first name basis at the tackle shop. I got a charge account running up nonstop. They ought to give me my own parking spot. I can't fit another plug in my tackle box. It's always under construction for all my weapons of mass destruction. I got buzz baits and Zara spooks, pumpkin seeds and flukes, booyah crawfish jigs. I got a 7-foot flipping stick, all the soft plastics to hook one on a Texas rig. My wife stays on me and my banker just told me that he's working on a tax deduction for all the money I'm dropping on my weapons of mass destruction.
Wow, weapons of mass destruction. Hey, by the way, here's a little announcement for you today from 10 to 4 for you deer hunters out there. Maybe you want to go down to Clyde Sports Shop and check out Wild Mineral Products. That's right, Wild Mineral Products. They've got the terrific Wild Mineral Supplements, Attractant, Maxi One Deer Feed, Field Fire, and Power Blend Food Plot Mixes. All of that is manufactured by the folks at Wild Minerals, right across the line in Pennsylvania. And Our rep, our buddy Bob, will be there, the rep, and he will be bringing with him the newest wild girl from the calendar. That's right. Her name is Brackell. Brackell. So get your camera. Take it on down to Clyde's Sports Shop. Get your picture taken with Brackell, one of the wild girls. That's W-Y-L-D from Wild Minerals. Today, 10 to 4 at Clyde's Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. You can give them a call, 242-6108. What do you think? 242-6108. Let's do this. We'll do the Clyde's Fishing Hotline, 247-FISH. We got through.
Here is the latest fishing information from Clyde's Sporting Goods. Calling for the big trophy rockfish in the mainstream part of the bay looked real good from the catch and release reports that we have gotten. Hunger River, croakers, bloodworms, peelers, shrimp and squid best bait. Chop tank fishing pier, white perch, catfish, maybe some croakers, bloodworms, cut bait best. Chesapeake Beach, some croakers.
Well, there he went. Not a very long report. I didn't do that. So I have to call Mr. Clyde, tell him his or somebody's stopping in there here in the next few minutes. Tell him their fishing report cuts off in the middle. They might want to check it. 247 Fish is a fishing report. And maybe we'll try it off the air. We'll see. Anyway, I got it. I talked about the red eyes, the beast I saw yesterday, last night, late 11 o'clock or so, coming in from Frederick. Just saw a pair of bright red eyes. I'm talking about bright red eyes, you know, like LED red eyes, right at the top of the guardrail. Right, I mean, just like a half inch over the guardrail. All I saw was eyes and a flash gone. I don't know what it was. Well, my trapper buddy says the only thing it could have been was a red fox or a coyote. Awful big for a red fox. Awful big for a red fox. Awful tall for a red fox. And I thought coyote as soon as I saw it. But didn't see the actual critter. All I saw was those two glowing eyes. Kind of like what you see in a, you know, horror movie. You know, when the big, the man-sized mosquitoes are crawling up the subway to you, you know, you shine the light in their eyes and they're two big red glowing eyes, or maybe you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Where are my Ted Nugent defenders today? I mean, you know, the guy's all over the news. He's pro-gun, pro-hunting, pro-sportsman. Where are his fans? You tell me. Are you embarrassed by the guy? Is this the guy you want, you know, speaking for you in this day and age about our gun rights? Or maybe you just think that he's the right guy. He's the one that needs to push the pendulum a little bit further so that to start the conversation. Personally, I like talking to Paul Dembowski with Marilyn Chow Issue. Now, there's an intelligent guy. Comes in here, talks about the gun laws. He's very up to date on everything. He knows what's going on. Truly, truly a good guy. Ted Nugent, I could take him or leave him for years. And I've been in touch with Ted Nugent. He actually did a video for me and was very cordial back many years ago when we started the venison donation program. He was at a gun shop down in Southern Maryland. A buddy of mine owned the gun shop, and he invited me down to interview Ted and talk to Ted, and I did. It was fine. Next time, whew, yikes, not good. What'd you say? Do my spot? No. Tell him about Sean Mann? I can do that. All right. Do you know goose season? The extended conservation goose season for light geese just ended last Saturday. Yeah, kind of went out with a whimper, but snow geese, of course, they disappeared a long time ago. But you know what? I'm talking about Canada geese. And the upcoming recipe in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly is goose and grits. My buddy Dave Levitt cooked up some goose and grits for me the other night, and we had a wonderful feast. Put the recipe down, and he's going to teach you how to do that. But to do the goose and grits, you got to have the right call, and that's where I recommend Sean Mann's Eastern Shoreman Call. You can learn all about Sean Mann's calls for goose and duck and snow geese and all about his company on SeanMann.com. That's his website, SeanMann.com. He's a local hometown boy right there on the Eastern Shore. His office number is 800-345-4539. If you see something on the website and you want to get it, see if they have it in stock, call them up, 1-800-345-4539. Maybe you can even talk to somebody there about hunting with Sean, either in Canada this fall or maybe when he returns and hunts Maryland's Eastern Shore. Sean Mann, Eastern Shoreman Goose Call from Sean Mann Outdoors, www.seanmann.com or 1-800-345-4539.
See the great selection of Ford trucks and SUVs, including the Super Duty and F-150 pickups, America's best-selling trucks for 34 years, at Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln on East Joppa Road in Parkville.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
Oh, we're back. No callers on the line. Well, that's okay. I'm clicking on my own website here, Maryland Hunting Quarterly. We kind of like the interactive feature where we put the current news up on there and have people respond as they would like. We talked about some of the General Assembly legislation and things like that, and we've provided video links and that type of thing. We're calling it Outdoor Updates. It's right on the homepage. You can read the magazine online, and you can do the Outdoor Updates. And the folks at the Congressional Sportsman's Foundation, yeah, we've got a nice link on there to their website. We'll hit on that when we come back. What did Congress do this week that concerns hunters and fishermen? In a positive way. I'm telling you, that's pretty interesting. So we'll take a look at that when we come back. And more of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Maybe we'll even talk to my buddy Bob from Wild Mineral. We'll see what happens there. So join us again. If you got to leave us, well, we appreciate it. We just invite you to get out, stay out, stay safe. Get out there and grab one of those big old turkey gobblers by the beard and wrestle them in and get one of those big old striped basses, 28-inch plus striped bass. Just wrestle one of those in, too. Troll them up, reel them in. Enjoy your day. If he's over 40 inches, get a citation for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. All right, get out, stay safe. See you in a few minutes.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
As the proud owner of a Ford F-150 pickup, I'm pleased to recommend Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln. From the sales experience to the quick lane service department, Bob Davidson is Maryland's only Ford dealer that has earned the Ford President's Award for